Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, here we go. Welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. And thanks to Aaron McIntyre filling in on the board today while Brian is away experiencing warmth and sun, apparently something that we don't really know much about here in the upper Midwest, but rumor is that it may be coming. Grace is at the phones. If you were listening last week on the morning show, Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, you heard our guest on today, and it may have spawned a question or two, and so I want to just give you the opportunity to jump in on the phones and join us for the conversation. In fact, we've got a couple of several copies of Dr. Walt Larimore's books that we can give away today if you'd like to join the conversation. I'll give that phone number out right away. It's 877-933-2484. I want to get to today's topic as we talk about the ultimate girl's body book and the ultimate guy's body book. These are a couple of new releases from Dr. Walt Larimore. Dr. Larimore had been called one of America's one of the best-known family physicians in America. He's been listed at the Best Doctors in America and the Guide to America's Top Family Doctors and Who's Who in Medicine and Healthcare. And best-selling author, has written or co-written, edited about 30-plus books, I think, including the ones we just mentioned. The latest just came out, The Ultimate Girl's Body Book. And before that, The Ultimate Boy's Body Book. His Brain, Her Brain. We've got a couple of copies of that, which is a wonderful study, and these also books like The 10 Essentials of Happy, Healthy People. He's also done a series of novels about first-year practice in medicine as a family physician in the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina. So we've had Dr. Walt on many times in the past, and it's an honor to chat with him whenever we can do so. Dr. Walt Larimore, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Neil, it's always good to be with you.
We want to open up the phone lines and just talk a little bit about health issues today. And obviously, you know, for those listening and you want to join the conversation, you're welcome to. But we're not doing diagnosis over the air, but certainly can offer some input and advice. And, you know, Walt has done lots of phone programs, so he's an expert at that as we talk physicians. But I do want to talk about the latest books. These focus on adolescent boys and girls, and interesting. I mean, you've been a family physician for years, and I think I read someplace you delivered over 1,500 babies. So you've been practicing medicine for a long time. Were you maybe in the writing and researching these books for adolescent boys and girls? Were there some issues maybe that surprised you in terms of compared to what maybe kids a generation ago were dealing with?
Yeah, Neil, I've been doing going to elementary schools, the fifth grade classes, for 31 years now. And wherever Barb and I have practiced in the local public schools, I'll go in and do a class for the little boys on your changing bodies and on little girls on your changing bodies. Parents are always invited to this. The school nurse always comes. And through the years, I've just saved the questions that little boys and little girls have asked because they're consistently the same questions again and again and again. And so they provide the core of both of these books, the questions that your kids and your grandkids and the kids you love are asking. But, Neil, they have changed. Our kids are accosted now by electronic media, by bullying, by cultural images that tell them what they should look like and sound like and wear in ways that those of us who are older never were when we were younger. Advertisers and marketers have learned specifically how to target kids. And, Neil, worst of all, the bad guys have learned how to find and target our kids. And so, boy, if there was ever a time for parents to work overtime to preserve and protect their child's innocence, boy, it's now.
Yeah. You know, I think there's probably always been some discomfort probably as in parents trying to, you know, help their kids understand their changing bodies. I mean, we don't always know what to say or how much to say. I mean, do you have any just sort of general advice in those areas?
Well, that's the great thing, I think, about these two books, because they really help you. At the front of the book, we give parents a couple of suggestions on how they can use the book. Of course, they should kind of read it, skim it first to be sure they think it's appropriate for their child's maturity. There are some kids that are ready for these books when they're six, and there's other kids that it'll be 11 or 12 before they're ready. But these are questions that kids are asking, and by opening the book together, either reading it together or having your child read it, it then gives you opportunities to talk about questions, concerns that your kids have. And we understand, Neil, the parent isn't going to be any sort of big expert. You're not going to know every answer. But we want you to be the go-to guy and the go-to gal for your kids. We want your kids to be able to come to you and ask whatever's on their heart and whatever's on their mind. And we want them to find parents who are willing and able to listen and love their kids right where they're at.
We're going to spend some time talking about issues like, all those kind of the things that both boys and girls face, whether it's acne or body odor or clumsiness and all these things. But I'm interested, Dr. Wald, about maybe starting with issues like puberty. It seems like it's coming earlier. Does that have some impact on maybe the changes, maybe emotional changes that kids are experiencing as well?
Oh, no question about it, and especially for girls. It's a much bigger issue for girls than it is boys. We're seeing girls that are diving into puberty at 8, 9, 10 years of age. In the past 20, 30, 40 years ago, it was more 10, 11, and 12. So there are girls going into puberty younger. There's a whole bunch of possible reasons for that. The experts debate about it. But no matter the cause, the fact is we're seeing it. Girls that go into puberty earlier wrestle with issues that girls that are later in puberty don't wrestle with. And so we want to equip parents in these books, particularly the girls' book, to help their little girl go through it. For the girl who's developing too early, she's got the interest from the older boys, and some of the bullying and kidding that she will get can be very self-conscious for her. And for the girl who's seeing her friends develop more quickly than she is, she's got questions, and so we've got answers to help parents help their kids navigate some of these difficult waters, Neil.
And there are, as you said, I mean, there are all sorts of, I guess, difficulties. Boys and girls have always talked, I guess, among one another, but there's a lot more outside influence, isn't it, whether it's electronic media or just the influence of marketing, that, you know, body image suddenly becomes a much bigger issue than it used to be.
Oh, you know, without question. And kids tell us all the sources that they get information from. They get it from the internet. They get it from other kids at school. But the majority of that information is wrong. It's incorrect. And so that's why I wanted both of these books to be approved by the Christian Medical Association, so that parents would know it's not just my opinion or my thoughts, but it's information that is medically reliable and biblically sound. So it's kind of nice when you can open up something from a trusted source and say, honey, let's look at this information compared to what you're hearing. What are your friends saying? What are you seeing on the internet?
Well, maybe give us an example. If is there one that comes to mind about things, you know, where the information is wrong? And I mean, I guess we probably have our own ideas, but and we talk about having biblically sound, reliable information. I mean, I think we're all looking for that.
Oh, the list is longer than my arm is. I'll tell you one that just pops up in mind because I'm preparing a talk for a national meeting of healthcare professionals about childhood overweight and childhood obesity. And Neil, some of the data on this, we're having more and more kids that are more and more overweight. It's causing more and more disease that we're seeing in kids younger and younger. I'm seeing kids in my practice, kids, I mean, 6, 7, 8 years old, because of obesity, they're having high blood pressure, heart disease, arthritis, diabetes. I mean, one half of our overweight and obese teenagers are already pre-diabetic. I mean, it's stunning information. But to the point, because so many kids are overweight, it's very difficult for parents and kids to know, are they overweight or are they not? The majority of parents whose kids are overweight or obese think their kids are normal weight. And the vast majority of kids who are overweight think they're normal weight. And so we've got a couple of chapters in the book on how do you know what the truth is? How do you know if you're if your weight and your height are normal for your age, and if they're not, what are some steps the family can take to fix that? The child who seems a little bit short, is that a problem or is that normal? Because there's a wide range of normal heights in kids. And so we give the information to help parents and kids figure out some of these issues that they all kind of wonder about.
Now, I think as I was recalling, just looking through the Ultimate Girls Body Book, one of the things that you address is that I think kids sometimes assume, well, you know, I will, as I grow and mature, I'll this will sort of balance out. You know, I'll grow into my body, if you will. But it seemed to indicate that, you know, if you have an issue with maybe weight, I mean, it's not just going to go away automatically, is it?
No, we used to think kids would grow out of it, and we now know that's just not the case. The vast majority of kids that are overweight or obese as children will be overweight or obese as adults. And the scary thing about this, Neil, is that a child that is obese will have a reduction in life expectancy of as much as 20 years. And this is something that parents can begin to reverse, not by dieting, because diets are actually dangerous for children. We have a chapter on that particular topic. But the family can begin when kids are younger to make healthy decisions about healthy activity, healthy nutrition, and what will shock a lot of parents, healthy sleep. We now know that disordered sleep or not enough sleep is one of the major contributors of overweight and obesity, not only in children, but in adults.
Let's take a couple of minutes and talk about that, because I always just find that fascinating that we, in fact, there are many schools that are sort of, you know, catching on, say, you know, we can start later as the kids get older because they need more sleep. And we the numbers are sort of surprising how much sleep we really need.
Oh, it is. You know, a toddler will need 12, 13 hours of sleep over 24 hours. A child will need 11, 12 hours of sleep. A teen needs 10 and 11. An adult needs somewhere between 8 and 10 to be highly healthy. There's a little bit of variation between people. But our average teens are getting about 7 hours. Average adults getting about 6 hours. So we're way low on the amount of sleep that we were divinely designed to have for rest and for health. And so, for example, in the chapter on sleep, we talk to parents. I mean, Neil, if a kid's only going to get 7 hours of sleep and we start school later, a lot of them are just going to go to sleep later.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not just when school starts, but it's how much sleep are they getting. And this is an issue for the entire family. I'll give you some information on how this works. We know that we've got two hormones in our body. One's called ghrelin and one's called leptin. Those are big, long names. But one of them increases appetite. The other one decreases appetite. When we get less sleep than we need, the hormone that increases appetite goes up, and the hormone that decreases appetite goes down. So with less sleep, we eat much more than we need, thus the childhood and adult overweight and obesity problem. As we take the very simple test, that step of just getting a little more sleep, and it can start off with just 15 more minutes of sleep per night, and who can't do that? But we guide families on how to increase that sleep week by week, month by month, and just that step alone will be one of the steps in reversing childhood overweight and obesity. Sure, a lot easier than dieting, don't you think?
Boy, that's, because I was wondering, you know, what is the connection? But it's because those hormones just, they make us eat more, right, when we're not?
That seems to be the major thing. For exercise, you don't have to go out and start being a marathon runner, but just increasing the number of steps that you take per day as a family. We know, for example, that families that take walks, now you can't do that up there, you know, today or tomorrow, but when the weather begins to warm up a little bit, we know that families that take walks before dinner, those kids eat less at dinner. We know families who serve on smaller plates, those kids are just as full and they take in less calories. We know that families that cut back on fast food restaurants, even one per week, cut back on those sugared beverages. The average kid takes about 70 gallons of sugared beverages a year. But very little simple steps that the entire family can do together, not making the overweight kid or the overweight adult be the target, but the entire family making decisions together on, you know, what are some steps we can take as a family to begin to improve our health.
Dr. Walt Larimore is in the house today, and we're welcoming you to join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH. Dr. Larimore's been a practicing family physician for about three decades or so, and board certified by the American Board of Family Practice, and he's one of the best-known family physicians in America, has written a number of books, and a couple of them that we're referencing today is called The Ultimate Girl's Body Book and The Ultimate Guy's Body Book. He and his wife also wrote His Brain, Her Brain. We'll get into a little bit about brain science as well coming up, and we'd love to have you join the conversation. In fact, we have four copies of the Ultimate Girl's Body Book to give away. It might be something for your family or children or grandchildren that would benefit from that. Love to have you join the conversation at 877-933-2484, and we'll have more in a moment.
Helping you grow deeper in your faith.
Sometimes we get so tied up in our to-do lists and routines that we forget what it means to be a Christian in the first place. Hey friends, I'm Susie Larson, and on the next Live the Promise, Pastor Stovall Weems joins me. He'll help us boil down the Christian life into one simple yet powerful phrase: seek first the kingdom of God.
Live the Promise with Susie Larson, weekdays from 3 to 4 on Faith Radio.
There's no shortage of messages in your life. Phone calls, text messages, face-to-face requests.
Mom.
But in the midst of your daily communication overload, find messages that build your faith and encourage your walk with God. Compelling stories, insightful podcasts, and ways to get involved. Get the latest from Faith Radio in your Facebook newsfeed when you join us on our Facebook page. Just search My Faith Radio on Facebook.com to join us today.
Well, we're at 20 past the hour talking today to Dr. Walt Larimore. He is a best-selling author, has written, co-written, or edited 30 books at least, and the ones that we're referencing today, The Ultimate Girl's Body Book and The Ultimate Guy's Body Book. There, the Girl's Body Book just came out from Zondervan. The Ultimate Guy's Body Book, I think, was out last year. He's written a number of great resources. In fact, you can find out more about all his writings and work on his website, Dr. Walt, that's D-R, Walt.com, and in fact does a devotion, daily devotional as well, called Morning Glory, Evening Grace at devotional at drwalt.com. Walt, you mentioned we're talking about some simple things we can do even for children and adults that have some, you know, tendency toward overweight, you know, less fast foods, taking some walks. You mentioned sort of less pop with sugar. I'm surprised at how much the beverage industry is ruling the lives of children and adults. It's pretty phenomenal, isn't it?
It's just incredible. And the marketing, the way that they know how, especially the Saturday morning shows, how to target kids is just incredible. And yet, children's taste buds can be changed, as can adults. And Neil, one of the most interesting steps that families can make, not only to improve weight and physical health, but emotional and relational health, is the family meal. There's not been a study published in the last 50 years looking at family meals that has seen a single negative to family time together. When we sit together to have meals that are not rushed and that are not in front of the TV and that do not have electronics at the table like smartphones or tablets, something magical happens. And the benefits of family meals have been everything from improved report cards and test scores, kids cognitively seem to do better, improved weight and eating habits. With slower meals, they tend to eat less food than they do with faster meals. The interactions that take place within a family improve sleep habits. They improve performance on SAT and ACT. They reduce criminal activity and premarital sexual experimentation and drug experimentation and alcoholism. And the list goes on and on and on. The average family has 2.5 meals together per week now. And these benefits, and there's many more I haven't mentioned, appear, the threshold for those, Neil, appears to be about 5 meals per week. Now, there's roughly three a day for 7 days, so 21 meals in a week. So only five of those have to be together as a family to begin to see that benefit. And if you're able to do more than that, there's even more benefit. But phone turned off, electronics turned off, TV turned off, just time for the family. And in the book, we talk to parents about using that time to just ask your kids questions and listen to the answers. It'll stun you what they'll learn. The other side of that data is that although our kids often don't seem to be listening to us, in surveys they tell us that there is no more important opinion that they have than the opinion of their parents. So even though those eyes roll sometimes, the fact is they're looking for us to be their, not their best friends, but their coaches and their disciples during these really rocky years called puberty.
Good advice, and it doesn't cost a lot either. In fact, it's the best thing about our good advice today from Dr. Walt Larimore. It's just, a lot of it's just common sense. It's 25 past the hour, 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. If you have a question, and Kay is calling in, listening in Northfield. Kay, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Walt.
I have a son-in-law who is very strict about the children eating sugar, but he will take out a bag of chips that are greasy and salty and snack on them with the kids before a meal. And I think that's just as bad as limiting me giving a cookie to their kids. So I'd like your opinion on opinion on that. And a second thing I thought of after I called is they also make the carbonated water. They don't put the sugary syrup in it, but is that hard on teeth and children's bodies?
Okay.
Kay, are you a grandma?
I am, yeah. Very involved. I've had both knees replaced, and I'm still walking 2-3 miles a day, and I'm trying to keep up on my health, so that's why it bothers me.
There ought to be a law against anybody that tries to keep grandma's cookies from,
well, I think you're right.
There's something immoral about
that. I can lead that charge if you want, Walt. I think I'm on that. So, yeah.
But, Kay, your son is correct in the sense that we know that children and adults in this country get far too much added sugars in their diets. And to the extent that we can cut that down to nothing, the health of our families improves. But co-equally bad, if that's bad English, but good science, is the salt load that our kids get. And so the any reduction that we can give in salt to reduce the salt intake reduces the risk that comes along from too much salt. With too much salt, we have cardiovascular risk predominantly. With too much sugar, we have the weight and the diabetes risk. So it's about eating healthy, not necessarily not having grandma's cookie once in a while, not necessarily even having those chips once in a while, but slowly and steadily improving our diets. Neil, if I could mention it, I did a book with Florida Hospital down in Orlando, Florida, to help families do good meals. It's called Supersize Kids, How to Protect Your Child from the Obesity Epidemic. We have chapters on how you can reduce sugar, how you can reduce salt, and yet still have really good tasting food. The second question, Kay, that you asked was, what about the carbonation? Well, carbonation in itself is not harmful, but the acids that are often used with carbonation can be. And the one that has me most concerned is an acid called phosphoric acid. We see it in carbonated waters. We see it in carbonated soft drinks, whether they're diet or not. And phosphoric acid does leach bone, and that has thin bone. It has two effects on kids in particular. One is that it can affect the enamel of their teeth, so make them more prone to tooth pain or sensitivity when they get older, or cavities when they're younger or older. But even more concerning to me than that is the potential risk for osteoporosis, or thinning of the bones. We know that humans reach their maximum bone density. Our bones are our thickest when we're in our 20s. Neil, after that, it's downhill. after our mid-20s, our bones begin getting thinner.
Say, Walt, let me interrupt, and we'll use that as a tease for coming back after this hard break, and we'll talk about, going downhill from here. No, it'll get better as we go along, and your calls are welcome at 877-93-FAITH as we talk to Dr. Walt Larimore today on Connecting Faith, 877-93-FAITH. Great to have you listening today to Connecting Faith, and we've made a connection with Dr. Walt Larimore. He's one of the best-known family physicians in America, been listed in the best doctors in America and the Guide to America's Top Family Doctors and Who's Who in Medicine and Healthcare. And we always appreciate the opportunity we have to connect with him. He and his wife, Barb, have a couple of grown children and grandchildren, and he's written or edited, I think, at least 30 books. The couple that we're referencing today have come out from Zondervan. The Ultimate Guy's Body book came out, I think, last year, and the Ultimate Girl's Body book just came out here just a month or so ago, and he's also written, along with his wife Barb, His Brain, Her Brain, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. We'd welcome your calls, too. We've got some copies of books to give away. If you have some questions about health for your children or grandchildren, or just would like this great resource to pass on to a friend, we'd welcome you to join the conversation at 877-933-2484. We've got some lines open for you at 877-933-2484, talking health questions today. And Dr. Walt, we're talking just a little bit about bone density and some of those things about is related to carbonated water. Let's pick up on that a little bit, because that's a pretty important issue for women especially, isn't it?
Well, even osteoporosis is becoming more common in men, and a fractured hip, Neil, now is the sixth leading cause of death of mature adults. And we know the stronger your bones, the less likely you are to have those fractures. So for kids in their teenage years, being sure that they have calcium and vitamin D in their diet, have exercise in their diet is critical. But the more that they can reduce those acids, particularly that phosphoric acid that we find in soft drinks and in carbonated drinks, well, it just helps increase the potential for bone health. So other than, God's creation of water, it's just the best hydrator that we have. It's one of the things I'm most proud of our kids with our grandkids, is that the families really have become water-drinking families. I'd have to tell parents, though, the caveat that if you're going to go with water only, you want to be sure that you have sources of calcium and vitamin D to help the kids build their bone health, or else use a no-fat or low-fat dairy product that has calcium and vitamin D in it.
There's a lot of, in fact, just saw something the other day in the news about the amount of dairy product, the sharp decline. Families just aren't doing milk anymore.
Yeah, and if you're not, then talking to your healthcare professional about how do I be sure that my kids have enough calcium and enough vitamin D, because the recommendations for calcium and vitamin D have both gone up over the last couple of years. A lot of families, to get that, are going to have to use a supplement, but they should do that with the direction of their pharmacist or their personal physician.
Okay. Walter, before we get back to another question here, I want to just address the you and your wife did some great research and study and writing on the book His Brain, Her Brain, and I know you address a little bit in the Ultimate Girls and Boys Body books a little bit about brain development, because there's a lot of research out on there. And just are there some things that we should know, maybe just as parents, about how our children's brains are developing or maybe not developing like we'd like?
Well, I think the most dramatic thing that's happened in the last 20 years is the realization that all of your listeners know, Neil, but most scientists don't know, is that men and women are different. We're as different as night and day. And the brain research could not be showing that any more clearly. But it's still, believe it or not, it's still one of these controversial things. In fact, Lawrence Summers, who was the president of Harvard, was fired just 7 or 8 years ago for even suggesting that women and men learn differently, if you can imagine. But as far as our kids' brain development, we know that that actually starts in the womb, in the uterus. We know that children that are sung to and read to and talks to while they're in the womb, Neil, can recognize their mother and their father's voice and touch. We know that the more they're sung to and that the more they're read to, the greater their language apprehension when they're born. We know that kids who are read to from early childhood, that their brains develop differently. And Neil, you may be like I was, like by the sixth time Kate would say, "Read this to me again."
Yes.
I'm thinking, didn't you get it? I've read this to you five or six times. But what's changed my tune, what's changed my frustration on that, is the research showing that each time I read the same thing to a child, even in the same session, a different area of their brain is working. And so the last 5 days, Barb and I were in the Atlanta area with Scott and with his two little girls, and I was far happier now as a grandfather reading those little books again and again and again and again, knowing that that increases their brain development. By the way, I've got to say that the research shows that television and videos, even those educational videos, actually impair brain development and relationship development. It's that human interaction, particularly with mom and dad, that are critical to the young child's brain development.
Oh, well, that ties in nicely with our next caller here. Let's go to Kelly, who's listening in Madison, Faith 1190, has some questions about media. Kelly, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Wald.
Hi. I'm pregnant and I'm expecting a little girl, and I just have a lot of passion about, trying to preserve her innocence for as long as I can, and trying to shelter her from a lot of the sexualization that goes on for women in the media and things like that. I don't know if my husband and I are on the same page with it. It's not that he isn't. I think he's just unaware, and I don't know, I can't push and shove my values on him. And so I'm just wondering if you had any advice on how to kind of open that door and get that conversation going.
Kelly, I just got an email this morning from a couple who are expecting a child, their first child, who had read the Ultimate Girls Body book. And they were writing to say, thank you, this is going to change our parenting of our unborn girl. I had never even thought of that. But now that once they wrote, Barb and I were looking at the email and saying, that's true. This is actually information that would be helpful, not just for the little girl that's getting ready to move into her teenage years, but parents of even younger girls to know that to protect, preserve their modesty and their innocence has to start very, very early. One of the things we emphasize in the book is that there is no reason for children, or for that matter, for adults, to have any electronic media in their bedrooms, period. That includes television, internet, computer, smartphones. The more we learn about the damage that the electronic media can have in the sleeping space, on the effect it has on sleep and emotional development, is just huge. And then Kelly, remembering that as she develops, our little granddaughters were able to handle smartphones when they were under 2 years of age. But protecting those smartphones, a child should not be given a smartphone or a tablet or a computer. And I'm talking, Neil, about children up to when they leave home, 18. That children should not have media that is not protected. For example, our young kids should not have cell phones, even if they have them for safety, in which they do not know that any picture they send, any email they send, any text they send will be seen by their parent. In our book, we had about 60 advisors, including a number of mother-daughter teams. And one of these teams had an incident happen. Neil, the young daughter, as they were reading the text of the book to help us with advice, the young daughter just started sobbing. She just started crying, and her mom said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "I need to show you my cell phone, Mom." And a boy had been sending her sex pictures, pictures of himself with nothing on. And he had been doing it for several weeks, and this precious young girl had no idea what to do. She didn't know how to approach this little boy. She didn't know how to tell him to stop. She didn't know how to stop him. She didn't know if she was going to be in trouble if she told her parents. Her parents had no insurance, no protection on the phone, and they had never even talked about it. and they were able to take care of this, but this was a problem that was preventable. So, Kelly, it might be that just you and he beginning to read together some of the parenting books to begin to decide how are we together going to co-parent, because there's no one who wants to preserve our little girl's modesty and innocence more than we do. And Kelly, as she grows up, no one will want to more than he will also, but now's a good time to start.
Yeah, good advice. And I think, as you said, Walter, there's so many these situations, whether it's bullying or this influence of electronic media, sexting, whatever, we can't imagine that it's happening, but I mean, our young kids are being bombarded by this all the time.
There's no question. I tell parents this, Neil. I say, imagine it's a rainy, thundery, cold night. You're getting ready to go to bed. It's 9 or 10 o'clock, and you hear a knock on the door. You go to the front door, you turn on the light, and there's a guy out there in a raincoat and a seedy hat, and he's unshaven. He's got an unlit cigar in his mouth and oilskin shoes, and you say, "Can I help you?" He says, "Yeah, I want to go into your children's bedroom to educate them. Will that be okay?" And what parent in their right mind would say, you go, not only would you say no, you'd be calling 911, you know? But when we have electronics in our kids' bedroom, those type of guys are seeking our kids and seeking their innocence, and it's up to us as parents to protect them.
There's a related question from a caller who wants to know about the technology and screen time. Is there a impact on a child's vision and just or in general? You talked about, you know, some of those educational videos actually impair development, but what are some warnings there?
Yeah, the experts, this is controversial now, and experts on both sides argue whether it affects vision or not. I'm not convinced that it affects vision. I'm far more worried about what it does with cognitive ability, emotional maturity, relationship maturity. The American Academy of Pediatrics now recommends that children under the age of 2 be exposed to no video at all. TV, computers, phones, zero, none, nada, none. And then from 2 on, a maximum of 2 hours per day. And that can be really hard in our culture, especially with kids who are learning on computers. And you would think, Neil, that my gosh, if the kids didn't have the computer time, would they replace that with TV time or music time? And at least the studies we're seeing so far show no, they actually replace it with family time. And so for mom, dad, and kids to purposefully, volitionally, intentionally reduce the amount of screen time and increase the amount of family time can be critical. Something I didn't tell Kelly in our earlier call, but in the book, we because advertising is so pervasive, we can't get around it, we encourage parents to begin helping their kids dissect the ads. Actually, if you're walking through the mall, to look at some of the pictures that are exposed in some of the clothing stores, and to ask that little girl of yours, what are they trying to sell you? What are they trying to say about you? How are they trying to change you? And kids, Neil, can get remarkably adept at picking apart the advertisers that are actually targeting them. And they've come away to help prevent taking their modesty too early, if you would.
And, you know, that's something that we just probably don't talk enough about, is the whole area of modesty, because it is I mean, we know from studies there as well. I mean, how we dress is a sales point, isn't it, for many others?
No question. And we put a chapter in the book about how do we as parents become more modest as models to our kids, and then how do we help our kids become more modest? There'll be pushback without question because of the impact that culture has on our little girls. But fortunately, this is an area where the internet can be really helpful because there are a number of modesty resources, modesty groups that are popping up across the internet, even modesty clubs that are forming in elementary schools and in junior high schools that make modesty kind of cool, modesty kind of hip, modesty kind of popular. And we link to all of those in the book. We're not saying electronic media is bad. We're just saying use it very wisely. And so the book actually has these little QR codes that allow girls and their moms or girls and their dads to look up more evidence-based, trustworthy information on the Internet just by using a little QR reader to get to that Internet information from the book.
I was very impressed with that. Of course, not being technically savvy, I was, have to have my grandkids show me how to do that. But anyway.
our neighborhood teenager can sure. help you out.
Dr. Walt Larimore is a family physician, been that for here about 3 decades, one of the best-known family physicians in America, and we're honored to have him on with us today on Connecting Faith. We're talking about the latest book that he's written, The Ultimate Girl's Body Book, and last year it came out, The Ultimate Guy's Body Book, and using that as sort of our discussion to talk about helping our kids grow and mature and develop, and good advice for all of us in terms of how we model that for our kids. More with Dr. Walt Larimore in just a moment. Take your calls as well at 877-933-2484.
It's transformation.
I love Faith Radio because it is very uplifting and it allows me to become closer to God because God is speaking through these people. If I have a good day, it makes me thankful that I know God and I can worship and praise Him. If I'm having a bad day, I have faith that God will help me.
Connecting faith to life every day. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio.
On the next Everyday Relationships.
Joblessness impacts men in a profound way, often bringing on depression, anxiety, and feelings of worthlessness. We'll talk about the ways to navigate joblessness and discuss some rules of getting back into the game with some top career experts.
Everyday Relationships. Real life, real talk. Weekdays at 4 on Faith Radio.
And we're 48 past the hour. A few more minutes to spend with Dr. Walt Larimore, who has been listed in the best doctors in America, the guide to America's top family doctors, who's who in medicine and healthcare, and he's written some 30 or so books and received a number of awards for many of them. And we're happy to have him with us today as we talk healthcare, and particularly using the books, the latest couple from him, The Ultimate Girl's Body Book and The Ultimate Guy's Body Book, both came out from Zondervan. As a reminder that we have some challenges before us in raising adolescents, Ellen has a question about her grandson. She's listening in Faith 1200. Ellen, you're on with Dr. Walt. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is, we have a 9.5-year-old grandson. He's the only child. He lives with his parents right on our farm here in Minnesota. And he's very mature, being with adults all the time. And he talks about puberty. He says, I know I'm not old enough for puberty, really, but, and then he goes into discussions. So I was wondering how appropriate, if he's of age, the book that you're talking about, the one for boys, is he too young, or that's my question.
Okay.
Yeah, great question, Ellen. One of the things that I pointed out earlier in the program, and then we point out in the first chapter of the book, is that children do mature at different rates, and we recommend that parents or grandparents, coaches, aunts, uncles, Sunday school teachers, youth pastor, who's ever going to use this material with kids, flip through it themselves to see when they think it'll be appropriate for their children, grandchildren, or the kids they love. I did a show, Neil, with a producer, and well, with a national program out of Chicago recently, and during one of the breaks, the producer came on and said she had taken the book home. Her 6-year-old child was already asking some of these questions, and so it was perfect for some of the chapters in that book were perfect for that child. Other children, it might be 10, 11, or 12 before they're ready for this material. And so just the fact that this young guy's beginning to ask questions indicates to me that some of these questions are going to be appropriate for him. And what you do is grandma or mom or dad are open the door for your kids and grandkids to know they can ask anything and that you're going to love them just exactly as they are. You're going to try to get them the right information. And if this book doesn't give it to you, we give you other sources where you can get that information. Or it may be a pastor or a youth pastor or a personal physician or pharmacist that helps you find it. But, Neil, for parents and grandparents to open that door and let kids know, we know you've got a lot of questions because we had them when we were kids. We don't know all the answers, but we're sure here to listen to you and love you.
Well, I guess
feel free to talk. You bet.
That's the important thing, right? I mean, the kids are going to ask questions. I mean, I'm changing. What's happening to my body? Why are my feet so big? You know, why acne, body odor, all those things? I mean, those are not uncommon questions.
Oh no! What about tanning? What about tattoos? What about those little henna fake tattoos? What about bullies? And what about sweating and BO, and what about shaving, and what about hair where I'm getting it where I didn't think I would get it, and why are girls so mean to me, and why are girls so emotional? The questions just go on and on and on, and this book doesn't have all the answers, but it's sure a good start to open those bridges of trust and those bridges of communication that are not only critical during adolescence, but the rest of that child's life.
You know, one of the things, too, we haven't really touched on is that I think probably all or at least many of the chapters end with just a Bible verse or two, that there's, you know, God's Word does have something to say about us as we grow and mature.
Well, this ancient text is as modern as the most recent science, and it gives great advice. I was doing a call-in program with a radio station in the Southwest, and a mother called in and she said her 7-year-old little girl said, "Mom, I'm thinking about when I get a little bit older in another year or two, maybe I'm going to begin to have sex." And the mother about fell out of the car, but said, "Well, honey, why are you thinking about that?" And she said, "Well, my friends and I are talking that we only want to be married to one man for our whole life, but some of the girls are saying, you know, if I have some sexual experience, I'll be a better wife." And I told this mom, I said, "Congratulations that your bridge of trust with your daughter is so strong that she can ask you a question you would have never imagined her asking at 7 years of age in 100 years. You know, that's why we put the chapter in there. If God invented sex, if it's his gift for married couples, if it is a sacrament, if it's an outward and visible sign of an inward spiritual relationship that we have with God, then why wait? It is a great question. And we spend a whole chapter answering that exact question for parents and for their kids, for their little girls.
As you mentioned earlier that, you know, we've known it, but apparently the world still hasn't figured out that men and women are different. But there's certainly a lot of gender confusion today. I know you address those issues in both these books as well, just helping, you know, boys and girls understand that they're made just as God designed them.
Absolutely, are made different and differently. Scripture tells us that God made them male and female. And it's really interesting when you look back in the Hebrew. Barb and I put two Bible study chapters in the His Brain, Her Brain book, just dissecting the biblical language on creation in this case. And when God created women, the word that the Hebrew word that's used to describe creation of women describes the creation of beings that are very complex, very valuable, very intricate, very precious, and very fragile. The word that he uses to describe when he made men is much more pedestrian. It's much more rural in agriculture. It's a word that's used to describe the shaping of a piece of clay, of pottery, if you would, to make a vase that will protect and contain something very fragile and very valuable. Or the making of a case that will hold jewelry or a Ming vase or china, for example. And we see this perfect picture of he who is designed to care for her and she who is designed to be cared for. And we also spend another whole chapter just dissecting the New Testament and what it teaches about the creation of men and women and what our roles are, and then exposing the science, which perfectly illuminates the Scripture. God's divine design for men and women is not only the perfect design, but it's the only one that leads to satisfaction and joy and peace and patience. And it doesn't always work as well as it's designed, but it is the perfect design, Neil.
Yeah, and the more we can understand that design, and not only for ourselves, but to help our adolescents, our children, our grandchildren as well, the better it is. The books we've been referencing, we just talked about His Brain, Her Brain, which is an excellent read and great insight. Also, the Ultimate Guy's Body Book and the Ultimate Girl's Body Book. The Ultimate Girl's Body Book just came out here a little bit ago. They're all from Zondervan. And, Walt, we mentioned earlier, you were talking about one of your books, Supersized Kids, How to Protect Your Child from Obesity. Just maybe say a word about what's online and where people can get some resources, what they're going to find.
Well, most of the books are signed, are available signed at drwalt.com. They're also available at all of the other internet sites, as well as your local Christian bookstore. If they don't have the books, they can order them, have them to you in a couple of days. But I think the thing I'm most excited about, Neil, is a twice-a-day devotional called Morning Glory, Evening Grace. If you go to drwalt.com, at the top you'll see a little hyperlink for the devotional. You just click on it. But it's a twice-a-day devotional that does not contain the Word of Man. Most devotionals do have what men think or what women think, but this is just God's Word. I've been working on it for 15 years. And so every topic you can imagine, what does God's Word say about it? And I take God's Word from the earliest scripture to the most recent scripture and try to put it together like a pearl necklace, if you would. So each morning and evening, you can get up and go to bed with the very best of God's Word on your heart. Morning Glory, Evening Grace. I hope it'll be a blessing to our listeners, Neil. There's absolutely no charge. It's free to sign up for, and we don't sell or give away your email address to anybody in the world.
Good. Well, we so appreciate the time that we get to spend with you today, and as always, great to have you on the Connecting Faith. Take good care of those grandkids. Keep reading those stories and enjoy that, and hopefully we'll send a little summer weather our way, too.
Oh, Neil, it's always a pleasure. You're a great interview, and it's an honor to be on your show. God's bless.
Dr. Walt Larimore, best-selling author, one of America's best-known family physicians, and he has authored a number of books. Find out more about the resources at his website, drwalt.com, drwalt.com. And check out the Morning Glory, Evening Grace devotions as well. If you missed part of the program today, we'd like to just pass it on to a friend. You can check the podcast by going to our website at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And then click on Connecting Faith. It will be here tomorrow for you as well.